well, it's not good news, but I'm not good, but God is good. Only God is good. If there's one thing you learn in life, it's that you'll never make it without God. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to be in the book of Ezekiel, because that's what we're going through this year, right? So I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel was a priest, prophet. He was, at this time that Ezekiel was here, prophesying was Babylon carried Israel away. You know, they took Daniel and other prophets, and they were in captivity because of their idolatry. And, you know, as you guys have all learned, idolatry leads to immorality, which leads to injustice. So Israel was an unjust nation. And God called Ezekiel to prophesy. Isn't it interesting how God always calls individuals? And even during this time, all the time, God is always calling individuals. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As soon as all that was over, Israel fell into idolatry really quick. As a matter of fact, they went directly into captivity. They went right to Egypt. Egypt and Assyria, and now Babylon was the third time that they're in captivity. So they're struggling. This is about, I guess, around 600 BC. And Ezekiel, I don't know if this is true, but I read about this. You know, you read something besides the Bible, you think, well, the guy's commentary or whatever, but I believe Daniel was in the, he was in the government. He was right there in the palace, and he was one of the top guys. God has people everywhere, even in our government. You might not think that there's people in there that love the Lord that are have Trump's ear or even had Obama's ear. They did. God has his people everywhere, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every people, even in your family. I even noticed that about my family. Even there's Christians in my family. It's amazing. So everybody has, God has his people everywhere. And so Ezekiel is here, and he, like I said, he was a priest, and he even was married. Later on, if you read the whole book, his wife dies. It sounds like she died pretty suddenly, like in one day. God told him, and then that by that night she was, by that evening it says she was dead. It's like, wow. Because maybe she was in his way or something, I don't know. But anyway, so Ezekiel was probably knew Daniel. Him and Daniel were probably buddies. They probably talked, they might have, kind of like Pastor Jim and Robert. You know, preachers and teachers and all, they kind of know each other, and they get, you know, they get each other's ear, and they're just to hear what God's doing. But I thought it was neat, Joyce's testimony, because God speaks to everybody. God said, it says, you'll know me from the least to the greatest. This is an interesting chapter. I actually read a lot more chapters than this, but this was particularly spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me about this. And I believe one of the reasons why things are the way they are right now in our country, it's not all bad. You always got to look for what God's doing. God's always doing, even in the midst of all this Babylonian captivity and the idolatry and the witchcraft and all the evil that was going on in Israel. That's not to say Babylon, I'm just talking about Israel itself. God always has a plan. He's always, even when he brings judgment, have you ever noticed that in your own life? Whenever God judges you, corrects you, chastises you, it's always for a purpose, so that you can be a partaker of his divine nature. Because God has a purpose, a good purpose. It's a blessing. I always look at it that way. Even when I go to work in the morning, I always say, God, thank you that you have blessed me with work. Because the Bible says work with your own hands, so you'll have plenty, so you have need of nothing. I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures, but there's scriptures about everything in your life. You can walk through your whole day just, and I do, walk through the whole day and I just remember a scripture. Oh yeah, this is, oh, okay. It encourages you and it blesses you because you know that everything's going God's way, always. And the reason why I believe Trump won the election or whatever is because we needed time. That's the only reason, because God loves the church and we need time to get our act together, for individuals to get their act together, get your family in order, get your finances in order, so that you can and be undistracted from serving the Lord. That's it. And get rid of all of our idols, which might take, let me see, Trump, he'll be in office for about another, you know, maybe 6 years or whatever. So you got about 6 years to repent of all your idolatry. Okay, just kidding, but that is true. I'm serious. I was reading about in the New Testament, in Ephesians, about warning. The word warning actually means a light rebuke. It doesn't mean a rebuke or rebuke, although that's true, but it's kind of a light rebuke. So that was a light rebuke. It wasn't a real rebuke, it was a light rebuke. Okay, chapter 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, when he spoke unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spoke unto me. So as soon as God tells you something to do, right away you have to have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, I've been listening to this tape of Jim's in my car all the time when I go to trial place. It's about the Word of God. It's about the written Word and then the living Word. I'm sure Ezekiel knew the written Word. I'm sure he studied quite extensively, him and Daniel, and all the people didn't have TV and stuff back then, so they actually studied the Word and languages and stuff like that. Sorry. But anyway, he didn't have the living Word until he got filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as he got the Holy Spirit, then he stood up. You notice that? As soon as the Holy Spirit came into him, he stood up like God told him to do. You can only do what God wants you to do through the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in the flesh. You can't do it in your own strength, in your own wisdom, your own abilities, your own smarts, your own pragmatism, all those things. You cannot do it. You can only do it by the Spirit of God. I'm not just speaking because that's what the Bible says. I'm speaking that because it's my own experience. Without him, you can do nothing, but with him, you can do all things. Everything God tells you to do, you can do. It doesn't mean that if Pastor Jim wants to be an NBA all-star basketball player, that's not what that means. It means that Jim can do everything God tells him to do. It means that I can do everything God tells him to do. Norman can do everything God tells him to do. Jeff can do everything God tells him to do. Danny can do everything God tells him to do, because you have the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the one who does everything through Jesus. Jesus does everything through the Holy Spirit. The Father speaks to the Son. The Son speaks to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit comes, he's not going to speak of himself. He's going to speak whatever I tell him. So they're always in agreement. God is one. Never fighting like the Greek, like the Roman gods, the Greek gods and all those. They all were fighting and complaining against each other and striving, but that's not God. God is one, and we're one with him. Not because, this is by faith. The just shall live by faith. So by faith, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not by the works of the law. Galatians, you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by hearing of faith. You receive it by hearing of faith. It's just by faith. So I am baptized in the Holy Spirit by faith, because I believe it. Every day, I tell God, thank you for baptizing me in the Holy Spirit. Even though I don't see it, even though I don't totally understand it or anything, I believe it, because the Bible says that's the way it is. And it's good to read your Bible, because you don't want to do less than the Bible says, but you don't want to do more. You don't want to go beyond what's written. People do it all the time. I do it. we all go beyond what's written. But what's written is good enough. It'll get you through life. It'll sanctify you. It'll get you all the way from chair one to chair seven or eight, depending on how many chairs you have. When I was in Africa, I only had three, so it got you through three chairs. It's a little bit more simple. All right, anyway, so this is Ezekiel's here getting his message, getting his commission from God. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are an impotent people, children, stiff-hearted. And I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. So he's dwelling amongst a lot of wicked people. These are God's people, by the way. And you too. You are amongst, not only do you have the world to contend with, but you have the church, which is lukewarm and wicked. And then you have your own flesh, which is lukewarm and wicked. So you got a lot of problems. But we have a good God. Merciful, kind. His mercies are new every morning. So even though we live in that kind of condition, it's okay. God always puts his people right in the middle of the worst of the worst. And like Jim shared about it, traveling, you know, he goes, go to the worst places. Go to the places that it's hopeless. Your family, a lot of you know some members of your family that are hopeless. I remember my grandfather was a bohemian, and he hated Christians, but because he went to see Amy, what was her name? The Four Square Purse person, Amy McPherson, and he despised her. So since that time, he always despised Christians. And I didn't know that. I thought, you know, I'm a Christian now, I'm going to witness to my grandfather. So I called him. He lived in St. Louis, so I called him. I said, Grandpa, I'm going to tell you what happened to him. So I told him. He didn't say anything. And I said, I told him the plan of salvation and all that, the best way I knew. I learned it from the Baptist, so I knew how to do it. Great. So I told him the plan of salvation. I said, Grandpa, so you're going to do that, right? He goes, No, I don't want to. He goes, I just don't want to do that. I said, okay. I go, well, at least let me pray for you. You know, so I prayed for him, and I wish I could tell you. I don't know if he got saved or not. But the reason why I'm telling you that story is because in Ezekiel, that was the same thing God told Ezekiel. You deliver the message, whether they'll repent or whether they forbear or whether they repent, you don't know. Just obey God. So that's all we do. We're just, you know, Jim's been preaching for years and years and years. Some people, you know, get it, and some people don't. Just the way it is. You preach and say what God says, and that's all you can do. That's all I could do. Even though I might have even done it wrong, I don't even know, because I was barely a Christian myself. But I said it, and then that was it. And then he died. And same thing with my grandmother, his wife. I did the same thing. I witnessed to her, and then she died. But I don't know. It was just the time. It was too bad for them, because I got saved right when they were dying. And I didn't know a whole lot. I just gave them what I knew. You better get saved. You better give your life to Jesus. That's all I knew. So, but all you know is what you know. You share that, and then whether they forbear, you know, they don't receive it, then they don't receive it. They receive it, they receive it. It doesn't matter if they're a spouse or a child or a relative or just people you meet in the streets or whatever. They either get it or they don't. This week I had my sister came to visit me, and I had all kinds of people coming to visit me. I had a friend from Sulphur Springs, another friend I knew from years back, and they all called me kind of out of the blue, which is kind of interesting. So anyway, I got we got to share with one another about our lives and what's going on in our lives. And it was really neat to see how all the stuff you shared together way back, you know, 20 years ago, whatever it was, how they took all that to heart, and how they're, you know, serving the Lord and their families are doing well and all that. It's really neat to see that sometimes, knowing that all the words you spoke over the years wasn't a total waste of time. And it's neat to see that. God shows you that every now and then. But Ezekiel heard the Lord and immediately got filled with the Spirit, and he stood up and he listened to what God had to say. And then God's going to tell him to do something, and he does it. And I imagine, because he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, that he's going to do this, what God says, in the power of the Holy Ghost. And because God goes, then they're going to know, they're going to at least know that there's a prophet in Israel. And in my family, my whole family, I'm not talking just my immediate family, but in my whole family, everybody knows that I'm a Christian and that I love Jesus, and they know I'm crazy, but that's okay. But at least they know. As a matter of fact, Joe, my brother-in-law, who passed away a few years ago, I did his funeral, his memorial service. His dad just died a few days ago, last week, and my sister went to talk to him. And he goes, out of all my kids, now his kids, he's got some kids, some of his family are Mormons, some of his kids are just, you know, general, you know, sinners and not really anything. But he told Catherine, who was my sister, who was married to him, Joe, he was my son, and he got it right. In other words, he had the right religion. And I thought that was really neat that Joe, and I witnessed to his dad too, at the memorial service, and he cried, and he never, I don't know if he ever, what he prayed or didn't pray or whatever, but I know he was touched by the Holy Spirit. So who knows? When you get to heaven, you might know, even though you said something real simple to somebody or something really you thought was inadequate or was, you know, oh, I should have said this or I should have said that. You don't know how you touch people's lives. Just the way you live, just the way you say hi, just the way you carry yourself or say God bless you or love people. They know. I mean, people know. And especially if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you just say whatever comes to your, whatever God brings to you, then people know for sure. All right, so anyway, let's read some more. In verse 6 it says, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them." Don't be afraid. Everybody's afraid. Don't be afraid. Neither be afraid of their words. Why does God tell him not to be afraid? Because he was afraid. I would be too. Because Jewish people are crazy. Have you ever worked for a Jewish person? It's almost impossible. I'm just saying. It is. I worked for one time, and oh my gosh, never again, I said to myself, never again will I work for a Jewish person. And I haven't either. But I haven't had the opportunity, so I don't know. I'm sure there's some good ones. And thou dost dwell with, that are, you know, love Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Thou dost dwell among scorpions, and be not afraid of their words, what they say, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, and be not thou rebellious like unto that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. So he's even telling Ezekiel, you don't be rebellious. I'm sending you to a rebellious house. You don't be rebellious. You do what I say. Now, it's interesting being led by the Spirit. The Bible says that be not drunk with wine, but be led by the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about being led by the Spirit. You sow to the Spirit, you sow to the flesh. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. Because God speaks to you all the time. God will speak a word to you, and you have to say it. If that's what he wants you to do, you got to ask him. You got to keep, that's what's neat about God. is he makes it so that you have to, like Ezekiel here, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to have an intimate love affair with Jesus in order to hear what he says. It's like my wife. Me and my wife can share a lot of stuff we can't share with other people because we have an intimate relationship with one another because we're married. And I've lived with her for 32 years. And so I know her. She's my best friend. She's everything. So we know a lot about each other, intimate things that we would never share with anybody else. I mean, good stuff, not bad stuff. I'm just talking about just stuff, you know, how you live. But same way with Jesus. You share, sometimes God shares things with you just for you. Just for you to know, because he loves you. He wants you to know that. Sometimes he shares things for you to share with the whole world. Sometimes he shares things with you to share with just a few friends or whatever. You just have to do what God says. But you never know. You never know with God. You just got to, because he doesn't share everything with you. The secret things are the Lord's. The revealed things are for you. So whatever is revealed to you is revealed to you. And don't go beyond that. Don't try to, you know, I don't know if Adam was black or white. I know people always are trying to figure all that out, or who the Antichrist is, or all that stuff. You know, you're not going to ever figure that out. You just got to read what's written is written and go with that, right? And it's good enough. It's awesome. If we would just know the best, it's what we need to know. It'll get you through life. It'll get you all the way to Jesus coming back. He began a good work in you, he will finish it. He will confirm you to the end. And so he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Every promise in the Bible, every promise, which is the whole Bible is a promise. All the promises are so you be a partaker of his divine nature. And that's what you want. You think you want healing. You think you want gifts. You think you want riches. But that stuff is nothing. Really what you want is Jesus. And I know that. Everyone in this room, you want, that's what you want. You think you want a job. You think you want, you know, you're thinking about your problems right now. You're thinking, oh my gosh, if this would just happen, I'd be happier. If my wife wouldn't complain so much, I'd be happier. You know, if I had a car, whatever the thing is you need, you think you're going to be happy, but it won't make you happy. That's why me and my wife go round and round, well, so-and-so needs to marry so-and-so because it'll make them happy. I'm like, well, Leah, that's not going to happen. I go, yeah, they'll be happy for temporarily for a few minutes, but then reality will sink in and they'll need Jesus. And that Jesus always makes you happy. I don't know about you, but every morning, Jesus, I don't know, he just makes me happy. Because I think about my life, I think about how lukewarm, how wicked and evil I am, and I think about how good God is and how much he loves me, and he's so merciful. And I always go back to that, I say this every time, I'm going to say it again because you need to hear it. If you are forgiven much, you love much. Amen. If you're forgiven little, then you're just going to be lukewarm. You were forgiven a lot. All of you, every one of you in this room have been forgiven tons. Tons and tons and tons. More than you can even imagine. Because all have sinned and fallen short of glory. But that's all you need to know. Okay, now I need Jesus. Every day. I need thee every second of the day. I need you, Jesus, because I'm not going to make it without you. And you're not. You're not going to make it without Jesus. You just have to hear God. And the only way you can hear him is just to spend time with him. I don't know any other way to do it. You can't just, you know, watch a movie then hear God. And I don't know. Maybe you can. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you got to spend time with the Lord. Read his word. This word is like, is precious. God sent it, this word, for you to reveal Jesus to you so that you would know Jesus. The word itself is nothing because, it is something. I'm not saying it's not nothing. I'm just saying you can study the word till you're blue in the face, but if you're not reading it to know Jesus, being baptized in the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit makes alive, The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus says free from law, sin, and death. What the law could not do, the word, the written word cannot do it by itself. And you need the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You need Jesus to know Jesus. This word was written for you to know Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, you search the scriptures for them, you think you have eternal life. And a lot of churches do. They are scholars. And they're awesome. I knew this guy, his name was John Deere, of all things. He was from Dallas Theological Seminary. This guy was smart. He was gym smart. This guy was a genius. He knew all languages. He was really a smart guy. And he was sitting he was sitting in class. And people would walk into the, this is his testimony, so I'm just sharing his testimony. He would see things on their forehead, like a word or like adultery or whatever. And so he'd minister to these people because he loved people. But this guy was smart. But all he knew was, he knew a lot about, he probably had the whole Bible memorized and all that. But then something happened to him. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it totally, totally changed his life. So he no longer was just an intellectual or just someone who knew about God or knew a lot about the Bible or historical things and all that, but he actually was falling in love with Jesus, and it totally changed his life and all the people around him, his family. It was amazing. So that's what we need, because God has not called many wise. The many of the great people of the world are not called. God has called the weak things of the world, the simple things, the people that are nobodies. That's who God's called. Why? Because they don't have anything. They don't have any hope in anything else. When I go to Africa, those people have nothing. Literally, they have nothing. Maybe a few clothes on their back or something. They have nothing. But man, they are happy and they love Jesus and they will. That's all they got. And it's almost like you're envious of them. You're like, man, I go back. I remember when I came back to America, I was like, oh man, got everything here. I liked it back in Africa where they had nothing. It was fun. Here it's like, oh my gosh. I was like, I'm serious. When I got back here, I was overwhelmed. How fast paced, how, everything was just, just like crazy. But over there, everything's like, you're either reading your Bible and praying or you're ministering, so you have no time for, plus there's nothing anyway. Even if you wanted to watch TV or do something else, you couldn't do it because there was nothing there. Literally, there was nothing there except for, crocodiles and, is it crocodiles or alligators? Crocodiles. They're in Africa, yeah. So this Ezekiel has to figure out, what he's going to do. Going to be rebellious, you're going to do what God says. And he's going to do it by faith, because Ezekiel's a faith guy. He's not a law guy, he's a faith guy. So he's going to have to tell Israel something. And he's going to have to say exactly what God says, because they're a rebellious house. And they are totally, if you read the whole book, they are totally into idolatry. They're not interested in God, they're not interested in anything except for their idols. And God, the only reason why God is judging them by sending them to Babylon is so that they'll repent, so that they'll be blessed. And that always happens. But then after Babylon comes Assyria, and then Greece, and then Rome. We're in Rome right now. So we have the same problem as the Jews did. We're a rebellious house. We are into all kinds of idolatry. We have not cut down the high places. We have not done a lot of things. But those things have to be brought down. Now, whatever they are, they need to be taken care of. And only Jesus can do that. You're never going to serve the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself without God. You can't serve God without God. That's the crux of the matter. The Jews didn't want God. I don't even think the Jews were too terribly upset about the law, even. I think they just didn't want God. They're afraid of him. Because, lightning and thunder and, judgment and all that kind of thing. So they were afraid of them. They didn't want to serve them. Idols are way easier to serve because they can't talk. They can't see, they can't hear. They're just totally in your imagination. So it's easy. You can imagine whatever you want. Have you noticed that? I talk to people about their religion sometimes, like maybe a Jehovah's Witness will come over. This is totally made up. There's no reality to it or foundation to any religion except for ours. We have a sure foundation. Our heart is fixed, right? So your life has a foundation. The foundation is chair four, justification by faith. Once that was done, man, the rest is just God killing me in chair five, and then going to six, and going to seven. It's awesome. But he's doing all the work. So I'm just coming to church. I'm basically just reading my Bible every day, praying, and coming to church. And my life is, I don't know how it is. I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know how it's all working out. I'm just like, I come home and my wife's there, my kids. I'm just so blessed. And I didn't even do anything. As a matter of fact, I did quite the opposite. I mean, my life was a wreck. But God, in his mercy, and I told you this before, but my oldest brother goes, Danny, I just can't believe it. Out of all the people in our family, I just can't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But God chose the worst to save. Like Jim. Well, Jim was worse than me. He was at least I was a good Catholic. He wasn't even a good Catholic. He was just an evil, wicked person. I at least had some morals. No, just kidding. I didn't. So God could work with me a little bit. You know, no, I'm just kidding. That's not true. But God, I tell you, he is awesome. And he's going to use this Ezekiel. Ezekiel's going to do something again in chapter 33. God's going to speak to him again. He's going to have to go to Israel, and he's going to have to, you know, he talks about the watchman. When the sword comes, when the enemy comes, he's going to blow the horn. And then he's not responsible. He blew the horn. You can either get ready or you can forbear again. You cannot do anything. And then if the sword comes and kills everybody, that's their fault. But if the watchman, you can read this in Ezekiel 33, but if the watchman doesn't blow the horn, then their blood's on his hands. That's saying right there. The reason why I know these scriptures so well is because when I first got saved, I used to go street witnessing all the time, but the people that were ahead of it, they were evangelist type guys. But man, if you didn't win a soul or 20 souls a day, you were like the scum of the earth. And they always use the scripture to scare everybody. Well, if you don't talk to that person about Jesus, then their blood's on your hands and you're going to hell. Anyway, so it scared me. I was like, oh my gosh, I better go. But we did have a lot of fun though. We went to concerts and we did all kinds of crazy stuff. But the thing about this, what God was telling Ezekiel too, when you do this, then you will be persecuted. I mean, I know some stuff about Jim. I know that he's been persecuted. All of us have. Everybody in this room has been persecuted for your faith, even though you might not recognize that you are. Because when you witness to somebody or you speak the word of God, even in your own family, your immediate family, then people, they don't understand it and they get all upset. Like I always tell my family, I go, man, Jesus is coming back. It's imminent. It says in the Bible it is. He says, behold, I come quickly. That was 2,000 years ago, but still, he's coming. And he's going to come, and it's going to be quick. It said it would be. It said that Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. It also says when he comes, he won't delay. It'll be quick. He's going to come, and then you'll look. It'll be so fast that it says in Psalms, you'll look, and you'll go, where's the wicked? Where are they at? They're all gone. I don't even see them anymore. I can't remember who they were. I mean, you're not going to know. They're going to be gone that fast. It'll be fast. So it says, what manner of people ought you to be in all godliness and holiness, And that's what God's doing in our lives right now. God's making us holy. He's preparing us for the bride to come back, who will be a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I know it sounds so ridiculous. People say, well, that's just spiritual. Well, it is. Yes, it is spiritual. Everything's spiritual with God, because we're spiritual beings. We're new creations. But actually, it's you loving your neighbor as yourself. Not perfect. Not perfect, because no one's perfect. God is perfect. For instance, this morning, God told me to get up at 4 o'clock, and I didn't get up till 5. Was that a sin? It was, because he told me. So I had to repent. The guy, I'm sorry, I didn't want to pray for that whole hour. I mean, I prayed for a long time, but so an hour, what's that? That's nothing. But it's something to God. It's probably a reason why he wanted me to, but I actually got up at 4, and then I laid there in bed. I go, well, I'll just pray in bed for an hour. But anyway, I got up at 5. So I totally redeemed myself. No, I didn't. God did. But I'm just saying, what people don't know what, you know, they don't know. When you know God, everything you do that's not of faith is sin. And so you're always, and it's neat because you're always talking, God, oh man, I'm sorry, I messed up. But you walk like that, and it's awesome because God is so good and merciful. Every time you come boldly to the throne of grace, receive mercy and grace in time of need. Every time you come to God, his mercy covers all your sin. His power empowers you immediately to be happy again, to be joyful, to be exceedingly joyful. Kind of like the lady with the alabaster jar, you know, she saw Jesus and she was so thankful that God would save a prostitute. I mean, just imagine the filth and the yucky life she had, and Jesus totally forgave her, and she was excited. So she's breaking the perfume and all that over him and putting the oil on his feet, crying and, you know, doing all that. I mean, it's like that every day. Oh my God, I can't believe it. There was like 5 hours today I didn't even think about you or tell you I loved you or anything. You know, I repent over stuff like that. I know it sounds ridiculous, but to me it's not. God has done everything for me, and I love him. It's not that he demands it or something like that. It's just, he just says, come on to me, all you that are heavy and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy, and it is. You know how easy it is? He does everything. That's how easy it is. I tell you, being a Christian is like, I can't even imagine doing anything else. But that's my whole life. You know, my whole being is to know Jesus, and that's it. Now, I do care about people and all that, but that's not because of me. If I wasn't a Christian, didn't love Jesus, I would just abuse people. I'd abuse my wife. I would just use her for whatever selfish gain I can have or whatever. That's how people are. Everybody's that way. But when you know Jesus, man, you got everything. You can just give stuff away for nothing. Give all your love away. Give all your gifts away. Give all your money away. Give whatever God tells you to give away, and you don't even care, because you know God's going to supply all your needs. Amen. And you know he's going to take care of you because he loves you. Amen. But when you do that, there's always a little time, a little gap there where you're totally by faith, because you don't see it. You're not going to see it until Jesus comes back. Then you'll see everything. You'll see Israel restored. You'll see the righteous ruling. You'll see Jesus, which is going to be awesome when he comes back. And then you'll see everything. Then you'll be the house that God's building. You are the house that God's building right now. Did you know that everyone in this room, if you're born again, you are a new creation? It says there's not Jew or Gentile. There's totally nothing. It's totally separate from all that. There's no male nor female. There's no Baptist, Charismatic, Catholic, anything. It's just all, it's a new creation. That's what God's interested in. He's not interested in your denomination or your theology. He is interested in your theology, but he's interested in that. New creation is a spiritual thing. And everybody that is born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, new creation, those are God's people. And I'm going to read here about, just in a second, did I finish reading this chapter? There's only 10 verses. Am I 9? Okay. And then I looked, and behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Now, lamentations, warning, and all this stuff, you know, God showed me that Jesus took all that for us. All the wrath, all the anger, all the things that were against us, Jesus took it. You know, when Jesus comes back, you will not, if you read the book of Revelation, all the wrath part, that's not for you at all. Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. There's no wrath. No wrath for us, none. So you don't have to worry about it. You might be persecuted. You might have to love your life, not even at death, whatever. But still, there's no wrath. That's good news to me. I'm like, wow. Because when I was first a Christian, I'd read the book of Revelations, and I'd think, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. That's what I used to think. I'd go, God, oh my, I'm not going to make it. That's just too much. Bees or whatever, those bugs coming out of the ground, and earthquakes, and some guy on a horse chopping your head off, and I'm just not going to make it. I will, and I, plus the mark of the beast, I'll probably take that like right away. I still think I'll just probably take, I don't know. Won't be able to buy or sell or anything. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of my family? Don't you think about those things? I do. But then I think, you know what? God is so good. Whatever happens, he's going to take care of us. He promised he would. I'm just going to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Man plans his way. I know all these young people have plans. I had plans too. I don't think one of them went through, but anyway, I did have plans. But God directs your path. I mean, you just gotta always tell Leah, God, oh God, I just feel like I'm always flying by the seat of my pants, which is pretty much true. Except for one thing I will not compromise, I will not do, I will not change what God has told me to do. God told me to come to this church, and I'm not gonna change. God told me, my wife, this is your wife, Leah, that's it. I never thought, since the day that God told me that Leah and I were to get married, I never wavered, changed my mind. That was it. That was a done deal. When I got saved, I became a Christian. I knew my life would never be the same. It was a done deal. I will not change my mind on Jesus or the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll not change my mind on anything. Now, Jesus told me to come to this church. I will not change my mind. I don't care. People always get, well, even my wife, you know, she writes to me sometimes about it, but I'm like, you know, yeah, I talked to Jesus about that. I'm pretty happy where I'm content where I'm at right now. I love Jesus, and I love my church. I love my family, and that's Jesus. So I don't have to worry about it. So I never worry about my health. I don't worry about my finances. I don't worry about anything. Because the Bible says, don't worry. So the Bible says, don't worry, then don't worry. I'm not saying I don't ever think about it or worry about it. I do. But that's just for a minute. Then I remember Jesus. I repent. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Even though I make mistakes, tons of mistakes, it's okay. Because God has a promise for everything. I always go back to the promise. Okay, so Ezekiel chewed up this word. I guess he ate it, didn't he? So he had this, doesn't this kind of remind you of the book of Revelations where John ate the scroll? So the word of God, Ezekiel knew the word. He knew what was up. But the children of Israel were rebellious and wicked, and they were serving idols, and he had to go tell them. When you have to go tell, especially church people or Jews, people that are religious, and you got to go tell them stuff, they get mad. Okay? I'm just telling you, they get mad. I'm speaking from experience. They get ticked off. So Ezekiel literally, when God told him this, he's probably thinking, I'm dead. I'm not going to make it. Paul, whenever he went and preached the gospel different places, they're always trying to kill him or stone him. Or I tell you, that's what it's like. Have you ever talked to a liberal? When I talk to my brother's a liberal. I talk to him, he gets mad. They do not have a lot of grace and mercy. It's their way or they're going to kill you. You know, stupid Christians. I hate Christians. I tell you, people hate Christians more and more all the time. I don't know if I told you this about this. Lee and I were watching this Christian, I think it was a Christian movie. Anyway, this guy was telling his kids about all these philosophies of the world, because he was a very intellectual, these kids were genius smart, and he was really smart, and he was homeschooling his kids. And he was saying, okay, we respect Buddhists, and we respect, you know, Taoists, we respect, you know, he named all these religions. And then the little kid raises his hand, he goes, except Christians. He goes, oh yeah, we don't respect Christians. So we're the only, you know what, and that made me think, you know, that's because our religion is true. Because we have the right stuff. We got Jesus. We got born again. We got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We got sanctification. We got Jesus coming back. We got all the law. We got everything. We got the mercy. We got grace. We got the promises. We got everything. People hate that. They hate the fact that you got all that. Even though they don't understand it, and they'll even probably think about it, but still, when you come all happy and, oh, God promised, you know, blah, 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 they get all mad. Oh, that's stupid. My brother, it's so funny. I'm just going to tell you about it because he's a real blessing. But he takes he has a Bible and he reads it, but whenever it talks about wrath or something like that, he literally, physically rips the page out of the Bible. So that makes me think he's going to get saved. Because if you're that mad all the time and you're ripping pages out of the Bible, you're probably pretty close to being a Christian. Because haven't you ever wanted to do that? I have. Well, I don't know if I wanted to rip the page. I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know God. That doesn't sound right. There must be a better scripture that has more friendly, you know, way to it than what I'm reading. So anyway, in Ezekiel, read Ezekiel. I don't really understand. I'm not going to pretend like I understand all of it. But chapter 33 is very interesting about the watchmen. And this is really interesting, all the stuff that Ezekiel had to do. And then there's the chapters before that where his wife dies. And like I said, he's still, that day, his wife died that evening, and he still had to go do his thing. So even though his wife died, God said, don't mourn for her, don't worry about it, just go do what I tell you to do. So Ezekiel was a pretty neat guy. I mean, he just loved the Lord, and he lived by faith, and he just did what God said to do. I'm sure he was having a fun time doing all this. I'm sure Daniel was too. I imagine that Daniel knew Ezekiel, because it was really close to the same time, but just a few years. I think Daniel was first. He went into captivity first, and then Ezekiel was just a few years later. But I'm sure they knew each other. It's interesting when you read the Bible how all these people overlap. You know, like if you read Adam, you know, Adam, and then you look at the genealogy, all those people overlapped. And so it's interesting that these people were so close. Like Noah was pretty, you know, he's right there. And when you read it, you think, oh, this must have been millions of years or something, but it's not. It's just a, you know, what it is, just like the Bible says. Anyway, God is good. I guess the message today was just to trust in the Lord. Eat the Word. I mean, eat it. Gobble it up. Don't just nibble at it now and then, but chew it and eat it up and read it. And God will speak to you. If you don't understand it, that's okay. Just ask Jesus. He'll reveal stuff to you. I'm not a genius or anything, and I understand a lot of it. I don't understand all of it, but I understand a lot of it. Enough to know Jesus and know him better and better. This is eternal life. This is eternal life, to know Jesus. That's what Jesus said. He said, this is eternal. They go, what is this whole thing all about? And it's about me, Jesus said. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like David preached last Sunday, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's all right. Praying in tongues is not that difficult. The Holy Spirit does it all. But that's not really why you're baptizing. You're baptizing the Holy Spirit for, because the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So this is the Holy Spirit's time. He's doing all the work. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus lives in you for sure, and he's in you to will to do his good pleasure, but he's doing it by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's doing all the work. The Holy Spirit is a workaholic. He never stops working so that you can rest. He's a comforter. Oh, let me get that. Ezekiel, you can't stand up. Let me stand up for you. You read it right there. He said, God told Ezekiel to stand up. You can interpret that wherever you want, but I'm just saying the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came and came unto me, he said, and then he stood up. That's how he prophesied. That's how Ezekiel and Daniel, all the people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, did everything by the Holy Spirit. So you think in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit wasn't there, but he was there. He did everything. He's the one. How do you think David did all that he did with Goliath? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was doing all that work in everybody in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul was led by the Spirit. Paul said, I'm glad, I speak in tongues more than y'all. Speaking in tongues is no big deal. It's just, all it is God praying a perfect prayer through you. That's all it is. You utter a language, but it's not, you can't understand it with your mind. That's why I'm amazed that Jim got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because people think too much. I grew up a Catholic, so Catholics readily receive stuff like that. I don't know why that is that way. But when I found out about the Holy Spirit, I just read it in the Bible. First, I read it in the Bible, because when I got saved, I thought, man, the Baptists, they were great. The guy that led me to the Lord was a Baptist. He goes, read your Bible. And here, and he gave me like 40 books that are about this thick, commentaries and, whatever. And then I had to sign a piece of paper to join the Baptist church, and I had to pay. But the big debate was whether I should pay on my gross income. I should be on tithe on my gross income or what? I don't know. It was really complicated. I was like, okay, I'll do whatever you guys say because I don't know anything about this. So I was just doing it. I didn't know what I was doing. What was I making? But anyway, so I was reading the Bible and I said, man, this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell my buddies about this. I bet they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But they weren't. They told me not to do that. So I had to go to Christ for the Nations for that. Anyway, God is good. He is awesome. But anyway, read Ezekiel, and it's really good. But read I always try to, when I read like Ezekiel or any of the prophets, or even the New Testament, I try to look at it from a point of view that these were just regular people. Because we always think of Daniel and all these people as like superhuman, awesome dudes, David, which they were, but it was because of God. It wasn't because they were great or wonderful or, awesome people. It's because they loved God and they were bold in the Bible, and you are too, because the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. You are as bold as a lion. It doesn't appear that way, but you are. And if you keep saying that and believing it and talking to Jesus about it, Don't just confess the word, but confess it to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Jesus, you said I'm as bold as a lion. Man, that's awesome. I can't believe I'm as bold as a lion. So you talk to Jesus about it. You don't just say it like it's some not Jesus, it's Jesus. That's one thing I was always misunderstood about the charismatic movement was that you confess the word and all that, but I didn't know that people would be, that they were saying it kind of apart from Jesus, like faith and all that was apart from Jesus, but it's not. The object of your faith is Jesus. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ to even get saved. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just for me to know, because he's going to, my relationship with the Holy Spirit is the same. When I pray in the tongues or I do the work of the Lord, I know that that's the Holy Spirit doing it in me through Jesus Christ, because he's revealing Jesus to me all the time. He's only speaking about Jesus. He's not even talking about himself. He's just talking about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. My son Titus gets tired of hearing it sometimes. Dad, all you talk about is the Bible. Or something like that. But anyway, God is good. You are a blessed people. Just believe that. Don't think about it or worry about your circumstances. Just you're blessed. And you're all going to make it. Because God made a promise. So you'll make it to the end. Those endure to the end will be saved. You'll endure. And you'll be not only endure, but you'll be bold. And you'll have I think the Bible says that you'll have like a huge open door. Just you can just walk right in. And that's you. Even though it doesn't look like it. But who cares what it looks like? It doesn't matter what it looks like. It just matters. All that matters is what the Bible says. And what God's speaking to you, that's all that matters. The rest, all you see is just circumstances, and it's just a lie. In the world is lie. The whole world is just a big lie. And the only truth we have in the world, the only light in the world is you, is the Bible. You're an epistle. You're a letter written to the world on your heart. Just like Paul said to the Corinthians, I think. Is that right? I think it was Corinthians, yeah. All right. So all you letter people, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are. The gospel is written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit because we need it. We go everywhere. We just carry the gospel with us, the good news that Jesus loves sinners just like us and that he saves us. But he doesn't just leave us there. He continually, every day, every hour, every minute is working on us to sanctify us so that we can fit into that house perfect, stone upon stone, built on the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, that's us. We're right there. We're part of the house. And that new Jerusalem, that new building coming out from heaven, a new heavens and new earth, that's us. We are that. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that that's where we're headed. So we have a bright, bright future. The best is yet to come. Our past is past. It's all forgiven. Right now, we're happy. Because our future is secured. Because we trust in the living God. We don't trust in our flesh. We don't trust in this world. We don't trust in one another. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And trust not in man or trust not in the horses or princes of this world, the leaders of this world. We trust in you, Lord, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are kings and you're Lord over us. We're lords and you're Lord over us. So we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, Father. So we're and we hear your voice. Every day we hear your voice. You love us. You show us all of our sin to get rid of it, to bless us. And you tell us how much you love us. And you guide us. You guide us with your eye, it says in Psalms. So we are always hearing your voice and always doing exactly what you say. Just like Ezekiel did. He did. He actually went to the children of Israel, even though he was afraid, even though they were idolatrous and wicked and not serving God, and they hated him, he still said it. And some repented. The Bible says, even God said that some will forbear and some will actually repent. So we thank you for that, Lord. And the same with us, our relatives, our families, our co-workers, all the people that we love and are concerned about, their spiritual lives. We just thank you, Father God, that they will hear the gospel and it will be clear. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Sorry I went so long. It's 12:30.